You're listening to KTOO. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Good afternoon. A project intended to bring dozens of furnished studio apartments to downtown Juneau passed a major hurdle yesterday. The City Planning Commission okayed a conditional land use permit for a 72-unit apartment building, despite safety concerns from some top city officials. KTOO's Clarice Larson has more.
Juneau resident Kay Mel told the Planning Commission she thinks the building will be, quote, a tremendous asset to downtown.
I realize there are significant technical challenges, and maybe they've not all been adequately addressed yet, but I would definitely be very supportive of seeing this move forward.
Of the eight commissioners, only one voted against the permit Tuesday night, but that decision came after hours of discussion. The six-story building is set to be located on three vacant lots on Gassineau Avenue, just uphill from the downtown library. Capital City Fire and Rescue Chief Rich Etheridge said the department would not be supporting the building due to its location.
The higher risk of, you know, damaging personal vehicles, damaging equipment, getting equipment stuck, not being able to access, you know, people having emergencies. Yeah, you know, landslides are definitely, you know, especially this day and age, you know, that's always a concern.
Gassineau Avenue is a dead-end street, and there isn't an easy turnaround point. The project site is on a downhill slope towards South Franklin Street on the Mount Roberts hillside. It's a short walk away from where a landslide damaged homes and displaced residents last fall. Etheridge shared a memo outlining several public safety concerns, pointing to vehicle congestion, difficulty parking, natural hazards, and the lack of easy access. He said increasing the number of units in the area would only make those problems worse. City staff also recommended the commission deny the permit, citing similar concerns. The applicant from the private development group, Steve Sankson, said much of the building will be used for workforce housing. Of the new units, 61 will be studios and another 8 will be handicap accessible. All are slated to be fully furnished and ready to move in by the summer of 2025. Only 7 parking spots will be constructed for the 72 units. However, that's 7 more than is required per the zoning in the area. The developers say an additional 2 bike racks will be built nearby. Vehicle congestion and lack of parking was a concern for commissioners like Mandy Cole.
This design works if people aren't bringing their cars.
Commissioner Paul Volkers voted in favor of the project. He says it should be celebrated for what it means for downtown housing.
At the end of the day, we all understand that we've all been working in some fashion to increase housing downtown for years and years. And I think that this is historically been a successful site for housing.
The project was granted $700,000 in a pre-development loan from the city's Affordable Housing Fund in October 2022. It will still be required to go through a building permitting process before construction can begin. Fire code requires a second emergency access point. Jill McLean, the city's director of community development, said she is unsure about what that would be. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
For a little over a year, a nonprofit called the 907 Initiative has been producing TV and radio spots, digital advertising, newspaper editorials, mailers, and yard signs in Anchorage, almost all of it targeting Mayor Dave Bronson. They look like typical political attack ads, but as Alaska Public Media's Jeremy Shea reports, the progressive organization is carefully avoiding the line that triggers campaign finance disclosure laws.
Dramatic music and unflattering photos embellish a recent 907 Initiative video ad.
This year, under Mayor Bronson, Anchorage is setting records for deaths due to homelessness.
There's even a fast-talking legal disclosure at the end.
Paid for by the 907 Initiative, 645 G Street, Anchorage. Approved by Executive Director Aubrey Weaver.
This ad and many others feature the slogan, "Incompetence has a price tag."
You probably have a unique perspective on it.
Well, I'm the unique subject matter.
Yeah.
Mayor Bronson says he became aware of the campaign over the summer. He says it hasn't affected him personally.
The message is no more important than the messenger. Find out who they are and where they get their money, and I think that will answer a lot of the questions for you.
907 Initiative founder and executive director Aubrey Weber says the organization advocates for progressive values, but its work isn't about influencing elections. He describes it like this.
Government watchdog, civic advocacy type of organization, and basically work to educate the public on issues, elected officials, and the idea is to reach people on a variety of mediums.
Weber is a former Anchorage Daily News reporter and says the group is advocating for following the law and good governance. focusing on issues rather than elections is an important distinction. Alaska's campaign finance laws say third-party groups that spend money supporting or opposing someone running for office must be more transparent. For example, they have to disclose who their donors are. Alaska political consultant Jim Lotsfeldt says he thinks the 907 Initiative's work is clearly designed to affect public opinion, but it's not electioneering.
We've been running issue ads in Alaska forever on all sorts of things, and this squarely, I think, fits in it. So it feels political, but nonetheless, it's allowable.
Weber says he's consulted the state commission that deals with campaign finance to stay clear of electioneering. He says, like many nonprofits, he won't share much about who is financially backing his organization.
It's a really standard thing. It's a tense environment. I get violent threats on a pretty regular basis. And so try to just minimize the impact of that, I suppose.
He says they have donors from in-state and out-of-state, and started last year without much seed money. He recently hired the nonprofit's second employee. Meta does disclose some spending data about advertisers on its social media platforms. According to the Meta Ad Library, the 907 Initiative has spent about $45,000 just on Facebook and Instagram ads in the last year. Putting out mailers and reserving ad time through local broadcasters also often costs thousands to tens of thousands of dollars. A lot of the ads criticize Bronson for the city's snow removal effort after record storms in December 2022 and again last month. Weber says the 907 Initiative would have treated a different mayor the same, even if their politics were more aligned with the organization.
If somebody else, another leader, had misstep after misstep, yeah, we would definitely look at that.
Regardless of their politics.
Yeah.
The messaging is getting a lot of attention. During an Anchorage Assembly meeting last month, Chair Chris Constant came close to echoing the 907 Initiative slogan during a lengthy dispute over whether the Bronson administration had overstepped its contracting authority.
This, my friends, is the cost of incompetence.
Weber worked on Constant's unsuccessful run for Congress last year. Constant says the similarity between his comment and the slogan were coincidental. He says he isn't part of the 907 Initiative. For his part, Bronson says it's just politics.
This is my opinion. They're working to make sure I'm defeated in April. So they're doing what they have to do. You know, they have the right to do that.
Ballots for the April 2nd mayoral election will be mailed in March. In Anchorage, I'm Jeremy Shea.
Trident Seafoods, one of the biggest seafood processors in the country, announced yesterday that it's selling a third of its Alaska plants. As KMXT's Brian Venwell reports, it's a huge move for the company amid a tumultuous seafood market.
Four of Trident's processing plants in Alaska are now for sale in Kodiak, Ketchikan, Petersburg, and False Pass. The company also announced a significantly scaled back winter season for their year-round plant in Kodiak. The historic Diamond NN Cannery in South Naknek and the company's support facilities in Chignik will either be retired or sold as well, according to the release. Multiple fishers contacted by KMXT said it was a huge surprise. Trident spokesperson Alexis Telford declined to comment, saying they're focused on their employees and fishing fleets at this time. The announcement comes on the heels of a reduced fall salmon fishing season across most of the state and just a month ahead of the opening of Kodiak's Tanner crab season, which is expected to be the second largest harvest for that species in decades. There's a storm of issues in seafood markets right now. Processors have offered fishers some of the lowest prices for their harvest in years, sparking stand-downs and protests across the state. The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute's conference in November pointed to declining demand for seafood, huge harvests, and foreign competition as some of the key problems. In a press release, Trident blamed similar reasons for its move to sell. The company's cost-cutting efforts also include laying off about a tenth of its corporate staff. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venwa.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 36 degrees and raining just a little bit. Tonight, some rain and snow is on the docket with a low of 37. Tomorrow, more rain and snow might be in the way, but by the weekend, it might turn mostly into snow, with temperatures in the low 30s. There is a special weather statement from the National Weather Service of another storm force front moving in tonight and through Thursday night. possible 40 to 50 mile an hour winds tonight, and a possibility of 1 to 3 inches of rain until tomorrow. You're listening to KTOO.